The following is an exclusive presentation of Pirate Radio, the voice of the pirate nation. This is Eastern North Carolina's longest-running sports radio call-in show. The Brian Bailey Show is on the air. The Brian Bailey Show on Pirate Radio is brought to you by
The Angus Grill, Bostic Sugg Furniture, Bojangles, East Coast Grading, Greenville Auto World, Papa John's, Greenville Utility Company, Michelob Ultra, The Rick House, Taft, Taft & Hagler, and Tiebreakers.
And now, here's Brian Bailey.
Okay, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome into our show as we talk Pirate baseball with Jeff Palumbo, associate head coach in his 10th year. Can you believe it's 10 years here at East Carolina?
Can't believe it. Gone quick.
Yesterday may have felt like 10 years.
Seemed like 2 days for sure.
Ooh, that was something else. We're going to talk about the need for the doubleheader, why we had to play two on Sunday, Duke coming up on Tuesday. Lots of baseball. We'll take your questions, comments on our Facebook Live page. Also, on our YouTube channel. This is the Brian Bailey Show on a Monday, talking Pirate baseball with Jeff Palumbo after this.
We all have seniors in our life who may need a little extra help with technology. University PC Care's quick helps are affordable, in-store, short appointments designed for seniors who may need a little TLC to help with setting up a new computer, help with email or passwords, or help with the latest online scam. They don't need to fear technology anymore. Call 252-558-1280 to schedule an in-store quick helps appointment for Greenville or New Bern. Learn more at universitypccare.com.
The best burgers around. Everyone loves a thick, juicy, and fresh burger. Tiebreakers does real burgers better than anybody. And don't forget about the cheese sticks, fresh salads, and more. So don't just go to any burger-themed restaurant chain. It's time to break the chain and eat local. Tiebreakers, burgers and sports at its best.
Go Pirates! Arr!
Get inspired and freshen up your home during the Spring Savings Event at Bostic Sugg Furniture. Springtime is the best time to find beautiful furniture at prices that are just your style. Plus, 6 months special financing. Save up to 70% off clearance items and closeouts. Plus, take an additional 10% off all American-made brands. Make bedtime the best time on a new mattress with up to 48 months special financing during the Spring Savings Event. On now at Bostic Sugg Furniture.
Your first stop for shopping is at Shimmer Boutique. This is Ashley from Shimmer. We are fully stocked with the latest apparel, shoes, and accessories, and more. If you need gift ideas or some shopping therapy for yourself, stop by today. Looking for the hottest shoes on the market? Shimmer has the biggest selection of Hey Dudes anywhere. Shimmer has the newest Yeti products and colors. Want this year's most popular bag? Shimmer has a great selection of all your bog bag needs and accessories. Shimmer in Greenville, Winterville, and Jacksonville.
Your Wood Ducks host the Lynchburg Hillcats May 9th through the 12th. Join them on Thirsty Thursday for $2 natural lights, bush lights, and peanuts. It is Women in Sports Night on Friday with a pregame panel and a pink visor giveaway presented by Lenore Community College. And on Saturday, there will be a red pocketbook jersey giveaway for the first 1,000 fans sponsored by Lenore Community College in honor of Heritage Night. Get your tickets today at WoodDucksBaseball.com or at the box office the day of the game. The Wood Ducks can't wait to see you all summer long. Go Woodies!
Pirate fans, the 2024 ECU football season will be here before you know it, and season tickets are on sale now. Lock in your season tickets to be a part of the Dowdy Ficklin experience all year long. Season tickets start as low as $115. Payment plans are also available to fans who lock in their seats early. Just head to ecupirates.com or call the athletic ticket office at 1-800-DIAL-ECU. We look forward to seeing you in Dowdy Ficklin Stadium in 2024.
Talk radio. Talk radio.
From the depths of space.
The center.
Outer space mumbo jumbo.
Of the talk universe.
The center of war.
Pirate radio.
We have prepared a planet with a suitable atmosphere.
You're listening to The Brian Bailey Show, powered by Greenville Utilities, providing reliable utility solutions to the Greenville region since 1905. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to our show as we talk Pirate baseball. We're going to take you through the week that was last week for East Carolina. Of course, no midweek games. That's the good news. The bad news, of course, having to play the doubleheader on Sunday. Let's go back to the Friday game, though, and it's Friday and it's Trey Day, that's for sure. Trey is savage, man. He's having the type of year that it's a National Pitcher of the Year type stats. I mean, he's got to be up there with anybody else in the country the way he's pitching.
No question. Trey's been incredible, and I think it came across maybe even Friday. I had no idea that they gave out, National Pitcher of the Month.
Right? I didn't either. Yeah.
I've never seen that. But you go back to how many guys are out there pitching across the country and how consistent you need to be. And obviously, I think last month Trey had the no-hitter and then an almost no-hitter, right? So it all makes sense. But he's just been incredible and so consistent, and really at a time where, with some of the injuries on the mound, our depth has been a little bit challenged. And for him to continue to go out there and just give us, those types of outings where we're shortening the game and when you're throwing one guy on Friday night, what that does to help, right, with this winning 10 out of 11, a big credit to him with helping us through that process.
Yeah, Pirates had won 10 in a row and dropped the second game. We'll, of course, go into detail on that one coming up. Savage goes 11 Ks. It seems like every time he goes out there, he gets double digits in strikeouts.
Yeah, I mean, his stuff is just so special and talking, it's pretty pretty eye-opening, right? And you talk with the opponent team, the opponents, the coaching staff, and they just talk about, right, going into the game, right, how they feel, right, getting ready to face an arm like him, and just it's a helpless feeling. And I tell them, hey man, I've watched him pitch now for 3 years, and I have no idea how you're going to put a plan together that's going to be successful. And really, that hasn't happened a whole lot. UTSA did a nice job, but really that was a Trey in that game threw a poor outing for him, and which would have been a pretty good outing for any other starting arm. So. It's just he's got four pitches and they're all plus pitches, and really when something's not working, he's got three to go to, and so it's really challenging for the other team's offense.
And you look at it when you're on offense and you get two or three runs, it's almost like you can almost throw in the towel because you've got enough runs to win the game with Savage on the mound.
Well, I think you coach a little bit different, right? I think you see that, right, where JC, you get the first two guys on base and JC drops down a sack bun, and part of that is obviously just getting on the board early, but a part of it is you have a comfort level, I think, that Coach Godwin has to, hey, score first, get on the board, put a couple runs up, and just what that does to the other team's psyche, right? Having to feel like they got to score a couple runs off of Trey. And so, I think you manage the game a little bit differently with that. But, yeah, I mean, really, go back to, I think, Gavin, right? There were times I felt like with Gavin Williams on the mound, you get one run in there and you're in a good spot to win the baseball game. And Trey gives you that same feeling, no question.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, that was the same game. He laid down the bunt, moved the runners over, and then the next inning hit with the bases loaded and drove them all in with the bases clean.
That's right, cleared the bases.
And that kind of shows you the type of hitter that he is and really the type of strategy that you guys go through. Everybody 1 through 9 is required to understand, we need you to move runners sometimes, and sometimes we need you to drive them in, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, and right, I mean, it's hard to predict when those scenarios are going to play out, right? So to have those guys up and down the lineup that he can execute, have guys at the bench that can come in and execute if the situation calls forward, and I think it just puts a whole lot of pressure on the other team, right? So, they have to wonder always, right, are they going to drop this thing down? And you see that with how the defense positions themselves, right? They're in, the field is shrunken down, and that opens up some opportunities for some slashes and some different things that coach can call. So having that versatility up and down the lineup makes a huge difference.
And then the rest of the offense, as far as that goes, for Friday night, Dixon Williams had a home run. He's it seems like every game he goes up there and gets a home run.
Yeah, he's had a nice stretch there. I think I saw four games with a home run right in a row. And so I think Dixon has continued to just find his footing throughout the year, right? He's played multiple positions. I think he's done a really nice job just adapting and continuing to, just get more comfortable at the plate and putting together great at-bats. And, proud of him yesterday because I think he got off to a little bit of a slow start, right? But he bounces back and hits the home run. And so that just kind of shows his maturity, and I think that's what you've seen him continue to grow throughout the year.
Also from Friday night, Justin Wilcoxon had a home run, and he's hit a couple of mammoth shots of late.
Yeah, J-Dub's been same thing, very consistent, right? He's been very, in terms of just handling the pitching staff, but also offensively, got off right last year, got off to that just torrid start, right, that weekend against GW, and this year is a little bit the opposite, but to see him kind of work through that here through really the last half of the season, and just been one of our most consistent hitters and hitting for power and, putting together another great season.
All right, so the Pirates won it by the final of 11-1 from Friday night in seven innings. So you guys, it's a normal Friday night win. You go to bed, you wake up. Can you take us through the timeline of what all happened Saturday? What time did you guys? Was it late night Friday night? You got the first call. Was it early Saturday morning? And
yeah, it was Saturday. And quite honestly, it was Blake. We a ton of alum, it was alumni weekend, right?
So right.
A lot of alums were out and about with their families, and I was actually showing someone around the facility and early in the morning and get back to the office and kind of get settled in to do some scouting report stuff on the starting pitcher and AK grabs me and says, "Hey man, I know you've been out of the loop a little bit, running around, but there's a good chance we don't play today." And my initial thought was, I've been looking at the weather. I think we're pretty good.
I think we're in good shape.
We're all right for today. We'll see about tomorrow. But, he said that obviously they had some issues, some health issues. And, they were going to kind of get back together and meet with the league, conference call with the league and get together and make a final call. They had, I think, 10 arms available and maybe 5 position players is what they were talking that they had available. And ultimately the league stepped in and said that we would postpone until a doubleheader on Sunday. So that all came down. I think they made a final call right around 11:30-ish, somewhere in that time frame. So, obviously a lot of people surprised and a lot of fans disappointed. And, funny to see the calls come in. Blake, our director of operations, he got a bunch of text messages of some unhappy folks. And he's like, look at nobody.
It's all Blake's fault.
Yeah, that's right. Nobody wants to play more than we do. So I can assure you, however you feel like this negatively impacted you all, we all wanted to be out there on Saturday afternoon, no question.
I was just wondering, as far as the timeline goes, like does USF, the coaches figure out who they've got available? They call the league. How much was East Carolina involved in that? I mean, were there any other options available besides, not playing Saturday and then playing a doubleheader Sunday? Why do you play 7 innings the second game Sunday? What really threw a monkey wrench in the whole thing is you get the long rain delay. So not only is it a long day of baseball, it gets added because you do. And we all know in baseball, just ask Cliff about the weather one time, but we all know in baseball you can get a rain out. You can get rain delays, but you usually don't get sick delays or sick rain outs, sick outs.
That's right. Yeah. And, it was the I think USF, right, reaches out to the league and fills them in on the situation, obviously contacts us and their coach. Staff is they're really good guys, and I think they understood this wasn't something that they knew this wasn't going to go over great,
right?
But you put yourself in their shoes. They also have to, when they're on a road trip and you're away from home and you have a roster or a team that you're responsible for, right? You also got to take into consideration their health, right? And you got to look into that situation and make sure those guys are taken care of. So I think those guys were kind of caught in between a little bit, and their staff was great, felt bad about the situation, but at the same time, right? I think they reach out to their administration and say, "Hey, listen, this is the scenario. How do you want to go about this?" And right then, the league office gets involved. And really, I think from an East Carolina standpoint, right, John Gilbert and Cliff, they're involved in having those discussions with the league office and the commissioner. And so, I think in the sports supervisor that oversees baseball. So, I think those things play out, and ultimately, that's what they settled on. And the doubleheader rule, the 9 and the 7, that's a league rule on getaway day, right? We played Wichita State. We played many doubleheaders on Saturday where they're 9 and 9,
right?
On getaway day, it's a 9 and a 7, and really it's usually a 7 and a 9, right, to make sure that you get that second game in. So it's supposed to be structured a 7 and a 9 under the circumstances and the fact that there was, a chance of some weather and some different things, right? Ultimately, I think from our perspective, we wanted to make sure we, in case we only got one game in,
right,
we wanted that to be a 9-inning game, okay, right, to have the best opportunity we felt like to just play a normal baseball game.
Right.
And so ultimately, that's how that all played out.
Okay. So they've got food poisoning. I think one of the great lines, I think, we won't say what we've heard where they got their food poisoning from, but one of the great lines was when you guys asked the coaches and said, "Hey, did any of you guys get sick?" And they said, "No, we all went to Sam Jones."
That's right.
Heck, we all know they're fresh over there now.
No, yeah.
They just killed the hog. So that's all good stuff. They're good supporters of Pirate Radio. And we know the folks at Sam Jones have some good stuff over there. So the coaches were in the clear.
No, cool. Well, I walked over then, and they're, you know, I've gotten to know them pretty well, and a couple of them, you know, known for a long time. So I just said, "Hey, man, you guys look fine, man. Did y'all eat out?" And they said, "Yeah, we went to Sam Jones." I said, "Well, that was a good choice.
Good choice for
a number of
reasons. Yeah, good choice for sure.
Absolutely.
But it's unfortunate that it happened like that. And then, you know, then the ramifications that you know, I guess as we were talking before we went on the air, the people in the room, you know, are trying to make this decision. You know, they decide on the doubleheader. They don't look at the next week's schedule. They don't look at what you've got coming up. They don't, and the fact that you guys have, you know, a couple of injuries in the pitching department right now doesn't help things either. So you'd like to get, you know, all that stuff in a normal capacity Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's not the case. And now you got nationally ranked Duke coming to town, which is a game, you know, that is very important as far as RPI goes and as far as maybe becoming a national seed.
Yeah, every game's important.
You're right.
And every single game's important, but there are certain games, you know, RPI opportunities, whether it's good or bad, right, that can affect you, you know, in a positive or a negative way. And the beauty of it is that we've, you know, the guys and we've played ourselves into a situation where that is the case.
Right.
And so, yeah, when decisions like that get made, you know, I think, right, if you're making them from the office, you're taking into consideration certain things on the back burner is how all the impacts this is going to have throughout the next, you know, several days.
Right.
And you know, when you talk about bringing bullpen arms back and different things, and when you play that doubleheader on a Sunday, it certainly impacts the games coming up, and especially if you're going to play Tuesday instead of a Wednesday, right, it impacts things. So all of those are factors and you know, certainly not the ideal way to draw this thing up here going into the week ahead, but part of it, and you got to make adjustments, and guys got to step up and look forward to seeing some of the guys do that.
And don't get us wrong. We all know, because many of us have had food poisoning or been around, you know, people that's got to be, you feel like you're going to die. I mean, and one player actually, you know, went to the emergency room that night, right?
Yeah, that's what they said. So they had a number of guys, and Friday you could kind of see something interesting going on, right? So the second baseman came out of the game, Montez, and then Mayo, the center fielder, you know, came out of the game. And originally I thought the second baseman came out, just they had that play where it's right on the heels of not turning a routine double play ball. They got no outs, and you know, he kind of was a piece of that puzzle, right? And so I was like, well, maybe they took him out for, you know, not turning that double play. And then Mayo was out in center field, one of their better players. He came out, and I thought that was interesting. So it all kind of made sense, right? But they were, you know, in the process of not feeling well and had several guys, you know, make their way back to the bus on Friday night during the game. One of them didn't even come to the field. So you can just see, right, the timing of it, right? You don't wish that upon anybody, much less the entire group over there. So unfortunate circumstance for sure.
Have you ever seen anything like that in your coaching, your playing career, anything ever ring a bell?
No, yeah. never seen that on a team, especially in that, right, that big of a scale, right,
yeah.
Where it just, you know, put them all down for the count, or at least half of them. And so, and you saw it even filter, you know, they had a last second lineup adjustment for game two yesterday. As it played out, Snow made the shortstop, made a couple good plays. He was supposed to be originally out of the lineup. Bozier was supposed to be in the lineup, and he actually didn't get in the game until the catcher got thrown out there at the wire, and the third baseman needed to go in to catch. So Bozier popped out there, so I guess he's feeling well enough for one or two outs. But yeah, Snow made some really good plays at short, and each time I kind of thought, he ain't even supposed to be out there.
That's right.
Yeah, but yeah, that food poisoning got us again.
Added to the woes right.
That's
there.
Right.
I tell you, we asked Cliff that question last night. If he'd ever seen, and he kind of went back to the COVID year. I think that was a year. Year after COVID, because, you know, season got canceled that first time, and then the next year was kind of a wacky year too.
But sure,
you guys go down all the way down to Houston, and you get down there, and then they can't play. So he said it was one of the greatest inter squads in the history of baseball, because it was Gavin Williams and Carson Wisenhunt going at it. And
yeah,
man, two of the best to ever throw.
Yeah, no question. And I actually, on Saturday, we ended up, right, game gets canceled, and we were going to take some BP, just get the guys, you know, some swings and get them moving around a little bit. And you know, I'd asked some of our assistants if this would be like, right, the COVID game of Houston, because we went out there to inter squad, right, their pitchers are out there throwing the outfield, right, so we couldn't play the game because they didn't have enough pitchers, and there were, you know, six to eight of them out there playing catch, and I'm like, well, how many pitchers do you need for one game, right? obviously we couldn't play the series at all down there, but I kind of anticipated that again, where South Florida was, you know, going to come over and have some guys get a couple swings and throw, but they didn't. They didn't. Yeah. They stayed back at the hotel and obviously needed their rest for the long day yesterday.
Yeah, it was something else and something we've never seen. I remember reading the email and I was like, man, I can't believe this is happening because I've never seen anything like that. But
yeah. Well, you saw it a little bit. I think if I remember back, NC State, right, when they had their issues out in Omaha,
right,
there were some games where they played with some pitchers in the lineup and did some different things.
Yes, they did.
And that kind of came to light. It's like, well, we're canceling a game on a Saturday in the regular season, and they were playing out in Omaha with pitchers in the lineup. So something to think about for sure.
That's exactly right. Good point there. Jeff Palumbo, in his 10th year as the associate head coach under Cliff Godwin, recruiting coordinator as well with Pirate Baseball. We'll take a commercial break. Be back with more talking Pirate Baseball. We'll go through yesterday's doubleheader after this.
East Coast Grading and Utilities is your source for clearing, hauling dirt, and concrete work. East Coast Grading and Utilities handles all sewer and water issues as well.
I'm David Vaughn. Whether putting in a new subdivision or helping you with any and all of your drainage problems, I can get the job done. Call me at 531-7494.
No job is too big or too small. East Coast Grading and Utilities. Friends helping friends. 531-7494. For East Coast Grading and Utilities.
Yard Gnomes Baseball is here. The Greenville Yard Gnomes offer summer fun with your family and friends at an affordable price. Catch every game at historic Guy Smith Stadium and enjoy great food from area food trucks, cold beverages, and exciting baseball action. Single game tickets start as low as $10 and mini plans as low as $48. Visit YardGnomesBaseball.com to get your tickets and Yard Gnome swag. Come out and hang with your Gnomies this summer with the Greenville Yard Gnomes.
Are you tired of the same old fast food routine? Shake things up for lunch and dinner at Clean Eats Cafe. We've cracked the code to make healthy dining tasty and affordable. Whether it's a power lunch or a family dinner, we've got you covered. Sit down in our cafe for a brainstorming session or catch up with friends. Even stop in after a workout for protein smoothies or a protein iced coffee. Our atmosphere is welcoming and our food is fresh. All for about the same price as fast food. It's time to ditch the drive-thru and feast on flavor at Clean Eats Cafe, Red Banks Road in Arlington Village.
The Angus Grill is your premier spot for the best burgers, cheesesteaks, and brisket sandwiches around. Join us for our unmatched variety of burger combinations, from the mushroom bacon Swiss burger to the jalapeno popper burger to the original Angus classic. Pair that burger with our amazing onion rings, tots, fries, or sweet potato fries. Angus Grill, with four amazing locations in Eastern North Carolina, including Winterville near Pitt Community College, on Jarvis Street in Uptown Greenville, and on Statensburg Road near the hospital. It's the best burger around, guaranteed.
It's time to think about our moms and our graduates. Hi, it's Rhonda from Russell's Clothing in downtown Washington, and we have just what you need to celebrate them both. With a great selection of beautiful spring apparel and new jewelry additions, moms are sure to feel special. If you can't decide, a gift certificate always works. Make it easy and shop Russell's downtown Washington, where selection, service, and free signature gift wrap is all about you, our pirate friends and customers.
Pirate Radio.
We not no punks.
The voice of the Pirate Nation. You're listening to The Brian Bailey Show, powered by Greenville Utilities. Community owned, community powered. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to our show as we continue on. Jeff Palumbo, associate head coach under Cliff Godwin with this Pirate baseball team. East Carolina at 37-9, 16-5 in the American Athletic Conference, 23-3, the record in home games this year. And the Pirates have a three-game lead with six to play as far as conference goes. So you guys are in pretty good shape as far as that goes, as far as the American regular season crown.
Yeah, you know, obviously that's one of our goals, right, is to win that regular season. And that's always, in my opinion, that's one of I just think it's really neat to win the regular season, right? I mean, it's a long-term goal right throughout the season. So I know the tournament's a big one, especially if you're trying to get a bid in the NCAAs, right, for teams that aren't in at-large contention. But to me, the regular season says a lot about the body of work that you've been able to put really together all throughout, right? Recruiting, when you envision the team and you know, carrying into the fall and getting the team where you want it to be and buying into the culture and everything that we do. So to me, that's a lot to be proud of. And obviously we're three games up and we don't have the tiebreaker with UTSA.
Right.
So really it's, in my mind, we're two games up and we need to, you know, continue to move forward. And like we talked about, every game's important, but go down to Tulane here, you know, once we get through the game with Duke and take care of business.
You know, you look at it back in the day as I was growing up up as a kid, the ACC tournament, that's the only winner that would go to the NCAA. So the tournament was the big deal.
Sure.
But it makes more sense that the regular season should be the bigger deal. And I think that's what, you know, after a while they say, okay, the ACC champ, regular season and the tournament champ goes in as an automatic qualifier. And it, they talked about that. And the tournament, I think, is still the automatic one. But once you win the conference, you get a chance to go. But really, that's your whole body of work.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, to me, it makes more sense, right, that the regular season, you know, it makes for more entertainment, right, as you get into that last week of conference tournaments to not have it in that way. So it's an interesting discussion point for sure. But to me, to go out and win the regular season, it says a lot about what you've been able to accomplish as a staff and as a team and as a program.
So you guys get ready to play two coming up on Sunday after the problems with Saturday and the food poisoning. And so Ethan Norby goes to the mound, and he gets the start for East Carolina. And this was a really good baseball game because South Florida, they got, you know, jumped out a little bit. You guys came back, bounced back, and you guys took control late, but it was really a good baseball game.
It was. South Florida's really talented. I was telling somebody after Friday, you almost need to just throw Friday out the window because when Trey pitches, you know, it just challenges the offense on the other side so much, and you can just see it. I mean, you just see it the second we score 2-3 runs in their faces, the game is over.
Right.
So, but we knew going into this week, in my opinion, South Florida has the most talented lineup of anybody in our, you know, in our conference other than outside of us. And they're older, they're talented, they have tools up and down the lineup, they have guys that can run, and, you know, they have two talented sophomores that have been a little bit injured throughout the year. So it's just a matter of time, Bozier and Snow, of those guys getting going a little bit. They put together really quality at bats. So, in my opinion, they're a very, very talented group of position players. And so we knew that going in. And so, you knew going into Saturday, it was and then obviously carrying it into Sunday, that they were going to bounce back and challenge us, and they did that pretty much right away in game two.
Ethan Norby got the start. He goes four innings, gave up six hits, three runs. That was the 3-run shot. He struck out five, but he pitched well.
He did. He threw the ball well. Bozier got the ball out in the right field, and, you know, in yesterday's wind, especially really the first 7-8 innings of the game, you know, game one yesterday, the wind was blowing out pretty good to right field, and put a good swing on it. But Ethan is done a really nice job. He's come in. He's solidified our in that swing role of the bullpen and pitching big innings for us. We need a spot start. He's gone into it. So, you know, obviously, right, as we talked about, Trey carrying innings on Friday night has been huge. Ethan has been tremendous, in my opinion, of just giving us consistency with us knowing what we're going to get, right? And he's gone out there. He's pitched well. He's been effective in both of those roles. It really doesn't matter if it's something we need him to carry some innings or it's something that we need him to go get three really big outs with a game on the line. He's been able to go out there and do it, which shows a lot of maturity as a freshman.
That was the next line I was going to say. He seems like he's a lot more mature than a typical freshman.
You know, it's really interesting to me, and it's something that obviously Ethan's talented, and he's done a great job and had a lot of success in the fall and then hit a little bit of in the preseason in the early part of the spring, faced some adversity, got challenged a little bit, looked a little bit passive at times, mm-hmm. and maybe second-guessing it a little bit at this level, and he's bounced back and did a really, really nice job. But it's always interesting to me, right? We've had some of those guys, you know, Zach Agnos, right, whose brother was here, and then obviously Ethan having been here and just being around the stadium, being around this many fans, being around the program and seeing all that goes into it. You know, maybe it's just those two personalities, but it's been interesting to watch those guys, you know, be successful really early in their careers, you know, having been around, kind of been around it, knowing what to expect.
And you needed somebody to eat some innings, and Danny Beal comes in, goes five, gave up three hits, two runs, struck out four. But you know, as Cliff said last night, we don't need some of our pitchers to be Superman. We just need them to a little tick. You know, got to be a little better because we've lost Jake Hunter. You know, we got two guys coming back in Root and Wyatt, and trying to get, you know, those guys healthy again. But you just got to be a little better. Maybe Danny was.
Yeah, he was huge. You know, he was huge. And Ethan gives him the ball, and Danny goes out there and kind of has to work through some things early on in the outing, but then just settles in, right? And it's like, all right, man, if he can give us three good ones, we're in a good spot. Okay, boom. If he can give us four, we're in a really good spot, right? And then he goes out and he finishes the job. So just a huge outing and put us, in my opinion, put us in a good spot on the mound to go out there and finish off the sweep. And going into the weekend, if you said, hey, we're going to play Friday, then you got two on Sunday, and knowing where we were at with our pitching, you said this is going to be pretty challenging. And then you're heading into game three feeling pretty good about it, you know, and having a little bit more depth, having some guys that you feel like are going to get put in some situations maybe they haven't been in a ton, you know, but you feel good about going into it. And I thought Danny put us in that spot, and those guys went out in game two and gave us a chance to win.
Pirates take game two of the series 8-5 to clinch another American Series. Four homers on the day. And Coach said last night that he didn't think Jacob Starling was 100% yet. But, man, when he gets to be 100%, he's going to be really incredible because he's hitting the baseball again.
He swung the bat well. He really has. And I think there were a couple plays in game three that Star would like to probably have back a little bit. But it shows the player he is, right, when he responds. We're down two, and he gets 3-2 fastball. We don't have too many guys in our lineup that can hit that pitch where it was thrown and hit it the way that he did. He's just got lightning quick hands, and he was able to get to that thing. But cool to watch that. But no, he's since he came back, he's been a tremendous force offensively.
It reminded me of the home run against Texas that he hit. I mean, very similar.
Yeah. No question. He's, you know, at times if he gets a fastball he's looking for, even if it's up around that belt or even a tick higher, he's one of the few that has the hand speed to get to it and get on top of it and hit it out into those trees out there in left center.
That was in the third game. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a bit. Ryan McChrystal homered in game two of the series, game one of the doubleheader. Dixon Williams, another homer. Justin Wilcoxon, another homer. Good to see these guys, and it always happens that way because as it gets warmer at Clark LeClaire, the balls usually fly out of there.
Yeah, no question. As it warms up a little bit, especially for those left-handed hitters, that jet stream gets rolling out a little bit. You see that flag blowing out into the practice football fields, and those guys get excited for batting practice, right, and the game that's coming. I don't know if Coach Knight does, but the left-handed hitters do. So, those guys got going a little bit and really provided a huge spark, obviously, for us there in game two.
I think it was Dixon's homer. I think that was in the Friday night game where he hit it about 1,000 feet up in the air.
Yeah.
And I think it just blew out. Because he hit it, I thought, that's a pop-up in the infield almost. It didn't look like it was hit that hard, but he just flew out.
There were a couple balls like that, and I think Puckett, their first baseman, was kind of in and out of the lineup all weekend. He put one. He swung straight up, and obviously JC went back and made a tremendous catch that I thought changed the moment a little bit, you know, of that game. So as Coach told the guys after, if we don't make that play, that game's probably a little bit different. But I thought that ball was a routine fly ball to right field off the bat and just kind of kept going and going and going. So, but part of it, when the wind's blowing and I like that, you get some balls that carry out to right, no question.
All right, so the Pirates win game two of the series 8-5, setting up game three, was supposed to be 45 minutes after the completion of the first game of the doubleheader. The weather was coming in. You know, take us through what the talk was there as far as, you know, what to do with the weather.
Yeah, I mean, the weather, and actually throughout, right, as I'm coaching first, the weather's coming, you know, kind of out.
You can see
the mall,
it.
Right? Oh, yeah. It's out over there, Greenville Mall. You can kind of
see
it working our way, and you're just kind of like, man, like, I wonder how quick that's moving, right? You know, as you're over there in the first base box. But Joey Perry's always on top of it and keeping us informed of what's going on. And then as we get into kind of bottom of the eighth, top of the ninth, I'm like, okay, we're going to finish this game for sure. And then, you know, Joey just – the hard part is the starters, right? You know, especially
right.
when you're pitching thin.
Right.
You don't want to get those guys hot, get them rolling, get out there for an inning or two, and then all of a sudden the rain comes and now you've burnt those starting arms.
Right.
So I don't think either team wanted to get into that situation. So it just seemed like the right thing to do was to step back. Let's get a little bit of break. We're in between games. Let's see what the weather's going to do. Put the tarp on the field, and you know, it turned out to be the right call. The rain came about an hour and a half later on, and it would have been tough if we had gotten going. So it worked out the way probably best. Joey and Coach Guy, when they made a good call and had a little bit of time in between for sure.
Yeah, it kind of looked like it was going to be worse early, and then it kind of broke up a little bit.
Yeah,
and as far as looking at the radar and trying to see what it was going to do, and you could tell you're going to get some rain at some point, but I think it was a great call to get the tarp on the field and you know, take a break for a little bit, come back, and there wasn't a big crowd that came back because obviously it's raining, it's Sunday night, people have to go to work the next day, but the people that did come back, they were loud and they were you know, energetic, and a lot of those people stayed for all seven innings.
Yeah,
I mean, they were there.
No, they're obviously incredible fan base, and those that stayed, they were obviously some of probably the more passionate ones, right?
So yeah,
they were into it and certainly tried to will us right to get back into the game there and get over the hump there towards the end. But we always appreciate the support and as you mentioned earlier, I think 23-3 at home, and big credit to the fan base, because that's they give us the energy and the enthusiasm at times to get back in some games. We've come from behind a lot, you know, and we've been in a lot of close games that we've been able to pull out. So we always appreciate that support.
You mentioned Starling at second base had a couple of plays he'd like to have back, but I was going to go through those because it looked like the first one, it almost looked like the ball took a funny hop. Coach Goblin said he thought it might have hit a sprinkler head, and it looked like the umpire was kind of, you know, shielded him a little bit. Did you see that?
Yeah. So, and the ball was hit well.
Right, it was hit well.
Yeah, it was hit well, and I actually was talking to Joey Perry earlier today, and I said, I think I got to go back and look at it, right? But it took a funny skip to me that you don't see off of grass.
Right.
And I don't know if it was the moisture in the air. We have a where the hose, right, comes out in the infield right behind the mound. There's a turf cover.
Right.
And my gut is it kind of hit lip
that.
And the turf and it, which I've, as I told Joe, I've not seen that in 10 years. So I want to go back and watch the film, and I hadn't had a chance to talk to Star just yet about it as well. But could have just been a normal skip off the grass. It looked like it took a little bit of a funny one to me. But Star will tell you he still could have made the play. You know, it would have been a tough play, but he could have still made the play, turned a double play. And, you know, it's just not something maybe you're expecting there as an infielder for that thing to shoot. Instead, you're expecting it to come off the grass a little bit differently. So unfortunately, part of the deal.
Yeah. And sometimes the ball always finds you. So later, the ball finds Starling again. This time, he tries to go to second and get the force there. The call is safe. I think the runner was safe. You know, people in the stands were like, why didn't you go to first? But that's one of those split-second decisions that you have to make split-second. And I was just wondering if you guys were in some kind of formation where maybe Carter was away from the bag and couldn't – maybe he just thought in his head, hey, Carter may have trouble getting back there. I got a better chance of beating the runner here. I mean, a lot of things go on, and it's like that.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to meet yet, and I'll ask Star what his thought process is. So I can't speak for him. You know, I think that it was just a scenario he thought he could get there, and it was a 3-2 count, two outs, runners rolling, pretty good runner there at first base, and the guy that hit the ball is not a great runner. It was their catcher, and so not a great runner. And all things Star, looking back, would say, hey, man, I just come through that ball, throw to first base, no problem, right? You know, and I think if he got to do it all over again, and, you know, I think sometimes that's what you try to prevent, and that's what you try to work hard so that we're in the right mindset all the time, right? But you get into those 14th, 15th innings of the day.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes those split-second decisions were just not – really, that comes down to being a little bit more prepared on the front end of the play, right? Mm-hmm. Before this ball gets hit, man, it's 3-2, right? Everybody's screaming, we're going across, because that guy's going to get a head start, right, rolling with a 3-2 count, two outs. And, you know, I think in that moment, Star just felt like he could get there, and he's quarter of a step too late, and right, and it's interesting, right, in baseball, because now we remember it because, you know, Brutcher comes up and hits a base hit,
right,
and the run scores,
right.
If he pops out,
you don't remember,
everybody forgets
exactly
about it, right? But those are things as a coach that you just don't want to put yourself in that situation, because you know that the next hitter is a quality hitter, and this can be the play, as we tell the guys all the time. There's a handful of plays that are going to determine the baseball game, and you know, I wish Star would hit second the next inning when he hit that.
That's right.
So got on base and it would have tied the game, but unfortunately let off and hit it into the trees.
Yeah, you know, you think about the levels of baseball. I think a lot of us are fans. We like the game, love the game, but we see it at level one, maybe level two, maybe level. Cliff would probably say I see it at level half, but level one and a half, level two. But you guys are down to level five, level six with different things, the situations that are going on and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's part of it, right? It's just part of the deal, but. But no, when those things happen, it's just, you know, there's always matchups that come up and different scenarios that play out. And it just, you know, and sometimes even players don't realize this, and they maybe often wonder why coaches get so frustrated. And it's because we have to think in terms of trying to control everything that you can control, and always being prepared, because a play here or there, what they don't understand is that could mean that, you know, another bullpen arm has to go get hot.
Right.
And now he's not going to be quite as fresh for tomorrow.
Right.
And so there's just so many variables to it that people, as you mentioned, maybe don't think about right all the time, and how they always impact right the next thing. And so, but it's that's how the game works, right? That's how the game works, and that's why you try to prepare the players as much as you possibly can, and try to get them to be ready to go every single pitch. Because if you do that, and you do that better than the other team, then chances are things are going to go your way.
The beauty of baseball. We'll take another commercial break right now. Jeff Pallone Mumbo live in the studio with us. Back with more on the Brian Bailey Show on this Monday after this.
Give me that ooey gooey, crispy, crunchy, mouth watering. Give me that creamy, dreamy, meaty, topping, pepperoni popping. Give me that crispy Kobe, Papa John's. Better get you some. Try the trio before it's gone.
Hey, Pirate fans, Papa John's is the MVP move for game day or any day. Place your order online at papajohns.com and sign up for Papa Rewards. Papa John's, better ingredients, better pizza. Go Pirates.
This is your What's New update brought to you by the new Greenville Auto World. What's new? The new Greenville Auto World has new owners, a state-of-the-art service repair facility that can help you with tires, state inspection, AC repair, and more. Greenville Auto World can work on any type of vehicle and offers great monthly oil change specials. What's new? You making a service appointment now by calling 364-8730. For award-winning service, trust Greenville Auto World, Highway 43 across from the Speedway at Bell's Fork. Pirates supporting Pirates.
There's a common misbelief today that to make it further, you need to push yourself, that you need to give up any joy to continue your rigid routine. Or you could try another way. Take some time to enjoy life, like having a Michelob Ultra with friends, because happiness is essential to living an exceptional life. Michelob Ultra, a refreshing and balanced flavor with only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Michelob Ultra, proudly distributed by Carolina Eagle Distributing since 1989.
Did you know that GUC's electric rates are the lowest in Pitt County? GUC's average residential electric bill, using 1,000 kilowatt hours per month with load management, is $21 lower than the investor-owned utilities and $34 lower than the local co-ops. In fact, GUC's average electric bills are still $10 lower than they were 10 years ago. Low rates with high reliability. That's the value of public utilities. That's the value of GUC.
Hi, I'm Ken Hagler of Taft, Taft & Hagler. We're proud to be sponsors of the Brian Bailey Show and the Pirate Nation on Pirate Radio, the voice of the Pirate Nation. If you've been injured on the job or due to someone else's negligence in an automobile collision, call us at 752-2000 for a free consultation with experienced professionals who care. Go Pirates!
Captain Bo Brooks, what's happening at Pirate Waters Outfitters this spring?
Well, we have restocked with all new apparel from Marshwear and AFCO. We got the new turtle boxes coming in the River Rock color, and I always suggest that you cook your fish in a smithy, and the new smithy is in as well. We have a fly cave in the back with all you need to catch fish on the fly, and tie your own fly wall where we have all the accessories and products you need to tie your own flies. We are Pirate Water Outfitter on Market Street next to Breaking Bread, home of Camacho Rod Works.
This is Dixon Williams from ECU Baseball, and you're listening to Pirate Radio, the voice of the Pirate Nation.
You're listening to The Brian Bailey Show, powered by Greenville Utilities. Community-owned utilities mean local control, low rates, and high reliability. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back as we continue on with Jeff Palumbo. Next week, we are efforting Austin Knight. We haven't gotten a confirmation from Austin yet. We're hoping to have him on next week. And the week after that, we'll be live with you from Clearwater. So we usually get Coach Godwin for the first 5, 10, 15 minutes of that show. And then we have the rest of the show talking about the American tournament, going through the brackets, and that kind of thing. Hard to believe that we're already talking about the tournament, isn't it?
I feel like every season goes faster and faster, so it's I feel like we're just playing opening weekend, and yeah, it's just crazy how quickly it's gone. But part of how it gets rolling, once you get in and you're going one scouting report after next, getting, you know, prepared for the next one, getting the guys ready and try to balance out some other things. But it's been a quick year for sure.
It feels like we just got started with the banquet. You know, I remember going in and sitting down with Cliff and Blake and going through the banquet and then having the banquet that Saturday and then starting the season after that. But man, it does, it flies by.
Yeah, November to January is usually slow, and then February to, you know, to May, yeah, goes a little quicker for me. So part of the deal.
Next up, the Duke Blue Devils. Duke comes to town 32-14. Duke also ranked nationally. I believe they were ninth, if I'm not mistaken. East Carolina was sixth this week by D1 Baseball. They fell from 5-6 after the loss in Game 2 last night. Baseball America has East Carolina at 7, and I believe the Duke Blue Devils are at 8, or I believe they're at 9 as far as the D1 Baseball poll. We'll check that out in just a bit. Anyway, two top 10 teams set to battle at Clark LeClair tomorrow afternoon, and really unfortunately, that's just what, you know, baseball in this part of the, you know, state, and when you have them here, when State comes here, when Carolina comes here, when Duke comes here, it's just a big deal.
It is. It's a lot of fun, and I just think it's I've said this a lot, right? I feel like, you know, the schools around the North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, there's so many great baseball schools, and I feel like we really make each other better. You know,
yeah, I think
how,
so too.
How we go about it and recruiting and how we compete, and you know, I think we learn from each other, right? You know, I just think it's interesting how that's all kind of progressed, and obviously it's always had a strong tradition of great baseball in the Carolinas and the surrounding states, but it really seems like for whatever reason over the last 2-3 years it's just been up and down, really, really talented. So yeah, it'll be another great challenge and another Tuesday night out at the stadium with two top 10 teams. Pretty cool.
Do you guys recruit against Duke like you do against State and Carolina, or is Duke a little different?
Not as often, right? Probably not as often. We have at times for sure. It's a little bit of a, you know, they kind of get out and do a little bit more nationally.
That's
right?
What I was thinking.
Yeah, with some things academically, right, that they have restrictions on. So it challenges, different challenges at their place in recruiting than we have at times. So we have at times throughout our decade here, but not quite as much as an NC State or North Carolina.
Duke was out of conference play in the ACC this past weekend. Played Longwood on Sunday, so they had a doubleheader on Sunday, won 23-7 and 11-1, so they pretty much had their way with Longwood. They come to town probably with their pitching staff pretty fresh. You won't see their number one, but you'll see some good arms, won't you?
Yeah, I'm sure we probably won't see their weekend arms. I don't believe, but we'll see how they decide to go about it, but they're talented up and down. Very, very similar teams, quite honestly, when you look at it statistically, offensively, defensively on the mound, and they really go about things on the offensive side, looking to drive the baseball out of the yard, and it's kind of been their MO over the last really 7, 8, 9 years, and that's not a ton different this year. But talented group, and we'll have to go play well again to win the baseball game.
And for whatever reason, East Carolina's had their way with Duke through the years. I mean, but Duke's gotten better and better.
Yeah, Coach Pollard and the staff over there—they do a really good job. So they'll be ready to roll. And you know, as you know, those things really don't carry over year to year.
You don't get credit for those.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, but it'll come down to us again, showing up, playing our style of baseball, and going out there being effective, pounding the strike zone, and putting good at-bats together and executing our plan.
Duke has a Pirate on the coaching staff.
That's right. Eric Tyler. Yeah, their hitting coach. He does an awesome job. And just super proud of him and just happy for him. He's found a great spot over there with Coach Pollard and the rest of the staff. And obviously putting up great numbers since he's been there. So he's clearly doing a great job. Hopefully he decides to take that night off tomorrow night.
Man, how does it make you feel when you see guys like, hope he has one bad night
that's
coming
right
up tomorrow night.
No question.
But when you see guys like that you've worked with and they're excelling at a similar role that you have as an assistant coach.
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, Eric here, it was cool to watch his progression here as a player, right? And he worked extremely hard at it, right? And then got into doing some hitting stuff and teaching that area. And then Coach Pollard, you know, I believe he actually coached Coach Pollard's son.
Okay.
And son, or maybe even two of them, and that's really where that relationship kind of developed. And Coach Pollard obviously must have liked, you know, what he was seeing out of that progression that he was having with his son, and ended up got into some discussions when he had his hitting job open up, and he's been a great fit over there, it seems like, and done a great job. So just proud of him. He's awesome, and super excited for him.
What do you remember about him as a player? What comes to mind?
High baseball IQ.
Yeah,
really high IQ, and you know, I remember he came in as a catcher. He was here with the previous staff before we got here as a catcher, and so he caught a little bit that first year, played some outfield for us, and did some backup catching. Travis Wright Watkins was here as kind of the mainstay back there, and you know, really then one summer we decided to look up going into his junior year, and just felt like his feet. We needed a third baseman, mm-hmm. and felt like he could maybe transition into that. So during that summer, we got him into taking some ground balls, and he just was he's a baseball player.
Yeah.
And so he just adapted to the third base position, played it at a pretty good level that junior year, and then at a very, very high level defensively as a senior. So, you know, we threw a lot of things at him, but just a baseball player. It is kind of the MO of that group of guys, right? All those guys, Charlie at second base. And
they weren't the most talented guys, but they were the hardest workers, and they just adapted to their roles and loved playing for the purple and gold and playing for you, playing for Cliff, and and they were a joy to watch.
They were fun. Yeah, and Hunter, obviously, he's still here in town. Hunter Allen. Those guys, you know, Bryce is out on the scouting trail now, Bryce Harmon. So, you know, just you know, Garrett's here in town, right? So just really cool, really fun group. They were not a group of players that, as you mentioned, we recruited, but they we threw a lot at them, and Coach will tell you this, we challenged them probably more than any other group of players that we've had, and they adapted, they bought in, and obviously had a lot of great results, but sometimes you appreciate that even more, right? That they didn't know us, we didn't recruit them, we didn't lay this vision out for them, all of a sudden they're just getting, man, hit in the face with this is actually what it's going to take to win at this level, and those guys figured it out over time, which was pretty neat.
I like to be a fly on the wall when you guys have one of your first coaches meeting after you see the guys. All right, what do you guys think?
Yeah.
Say, well, we got Fred Flintstone over there. We got to put him at third base somewhere. We got to figure out what we're going to do with him and what we're going to do with this guy. And
the question is what those guys back at the apartments were saying.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. That was probably more entertaining.
I'm sure they got a couple of rounds from Cliff and they were like, whoa, yeah, where'd this come from?
Absolutely.
That's good stuff. Jeff Palumbo joining us as we continue on. Duke comes to town coming up tomorrow. Then the Pirates hit the road to Tulane, heading to the Big Easy in New Orleans. Campbell next week at home. And then the Pirates finish it off with a three-game series with the Rice Owls. And then the tournament down in Clearwater. And you guys take a different approach, I think, to Clearwater, because you kind of tell the guys that, look, if you get the job done, you take care of your business, well, we're going to give you some time to enjoy things down there. And Clearwater is one of those places that, you know, it's a beautiful beach. It's a beautiful hotel the guys stay. I think the guys kind of like, you know, I think they're thankful. Hey, I'm glad I played for East Carolina because we're down here. You know, even the ACC, and they used to play, what, Charlotte and, you know, Durham Bull Athletic Park. And, you know, but you guys are in Clearwater, Florida. And, you know, if my memory's correct, you went on Tuesday, you're off on Wednesday. And if you went on Thursday, you're off on Friday. And that makes for a great week as a sportscaster because you can kind of flip through the week.
Yeah, no doubt. Nobody's pulling harder for us than Brian. Right?
Exactly.
So, but no, it is. And I tell everybody, right, no matter what tournament, you know, it's the best tournament going. And we can treat it extremely well and stay at a beautiful spot and beautiful resort. And as you said, there really aren't many tournaments where if you win, you get a day off.
Right.
So it's just a nice touch, right, for if the guys can win and we can win, to get that rest, but allow them to enjoy themselves a little bit. But, you know, enjoy the experience of as you mentioned, a beautiful area, but it also helps with the pitching, right? Yeah. And being able to bring that along a little bit slowly and map that out. So that's the biggest piece of winning that Tuesday game. Everybody loves the days off, but it really helps with your pitching. It puts you in the driver's seat for the rest of the tournament.
And the only one who roots for you harder is Melissa, my wife, because she comes down on Wednesday usually.
That's right.
And so if you guys have lost a game, where, you know, I'm like, hey, babe, I'll see you later. I got to go back to Greenville.
That's right. Nobody cheers harder than the fans. They want that full week in Clearwater.
That's right.
Some downtime.
The fans and the family of the players, they want to be there for good. All right, let's take our final commercial break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up with Jeff Palumbo. It's been a quick hour. Back with more after this.
Fitness, fellowship, and faith is F3, and is changing lives of men right here in your community. Just listen.
My name is Tony McKee, cold cut, age 64. You can do this. I've been doing this for 9 years next month. This has been life-changing. A friend is closer than a brother. That's a scriptural thing, which is important to me because F3 has been like brothers to me, a family like I've never had before.
F3ENC.com. You don't have to be great to get started, but you have to get started if you want to be great.
Do you struggle with sleep issues, anxiety, or pain? Let your CBD store find you a natural solution. Your CBD store's wellness specialist will help find the right product for you. Their award-winning products are safe and tested for purity and quality. Your CBD store's unique boutique also carries THCA flower and pre-rolls, Delta gummies and seltzers, pet products, jewelry, and more. Mention this ad for 10% off your purchase. Call ahead for pickup at 999-5127. Your CBD store, open Monday through Saturday from 11 to 7, and located at 420 East Arlington Boulevard in Greenville. Go Pirates!
University PC Care in Greenville and New Bern has been serving the tech repair needs of Eastern North Carolina since 2006. And as one of the only Apple-authorized service providers east of Raleigh, all our technicians are Apple certified, and we only use genuine Apple parts. Your iPhone and Mac warranties are safe with us. Have questions or need service? Call 252-558-1280 or visit us online at universitypccare.com. University PC Care, your one-stop shop for service on everything Apple.
Hey, Pirate Nation, be sure to have the best and comfortable shoes with a stop at Fleet Feet. This is ECU alum Chris Lunyon, owner of Fleet Feet of Greenville, and we provide solutions through one-on-one service to runners, walkers, and everyone in between. Fleet Feet has the tools and technology to get you in the right shoe, including a 3D foot scanner that measures arch height, width, and more. Come visit us at 207 East Arlington Boulevard in the old Gordon's Golf location. Fleet Feet, we run for you.
Hey O's families, Oriole Park at Camden Yards is the perfect Sunday fun day for families. With Kids Run the Bases, presented by Wise Markets. After cheering on the O's together, stay post-game when all fans ages 4 to 14 are invited to come down to the field and run the bases like the pros. Plus, check out other kids' perks around the park, like Kids Corner and Kids Merch. Make it a day at Camden Yards for the whole family. Learn more and buy your tickets today at Orioles.com/kids.
I'm Donald Stocks, owner of PIP Marketing Signs Print. We are your one-stop shop for just about anything printed. If we're not your go-to printer, please give us a call at 355-1636. We have over 80 five-star Google reviews and want you to be our next more than satisfied and well-pleased customer. Check us out at growitpip.com or stop in to see us at 3185 Mosley Drive in Greenville. PIP. Where business goes to grow.
Pirate Radio, no one can outwork us.
Like the way you move.
We are the voice of the Pirate Nation. You're listening to The Brian Bailey Show, powered by Greenville Utilities, working for our community, not for shareholders. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back as we wrap things up with Jeff Palumbo. We were just talking about families, and I was just telling him how much respect I have for him because, you know, when you're trying to juggle, you know, the family situations and trying to do, you know, because as a dad, you want to be there. That's just what dads want to do. I mean, it's something in your heart that you want to be there, and you know sometimes with your job that you can't, but you do everything that you possibly can. And I know it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is actually. It's very, very hard. Very hard to miss it. But at times with but part of the deal. We know that when we sign up for it until you get them. Then it's like
that's right.
Now it's real.
You knew it was coming.
That's right. You know it's coming, but you don't realize how hard it's going to be. Well, right. So, but got a great Sarah does an amazing job getting them to and from, and just such an awesome community of people to help out. So as you mentioned, no better place to be doing that.
And you were saying some things that weren't available when my kids were coming through, but like, you know, the streams, the live stream, you can go back and look at that later on and check out the games, and there's just so much you can, you know, there's video. I mean, seriously, your son can go to the plate, you can get a video 5 seconds later.
Yeah.
In between innings, you can look at it. No question. I mean, that's something different.
Yeah, Elm Street is obviously an amazing place in general, but just have the live stream that they have going on there to be able to watch the games or go back and watch them later or just watch it with them, right? You know what I mean? Later on, I think it helps with missing some of those things for sure.
Duke comes to town coming up, top 10 matchup between East Carolina and the Blue Devils. When you play a game like this and you know your pitching has been stretched because you just played a doubleheader, do the offensive guys, do the Carter Cunninghams and Jacob Starlings, you know, in the lineup kind of look at each other and say, hey, we've really got to do our part. We got to put some runs on the board.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly do. They're a very smart group of guys, older players, right? They've been around. They get the big picture. They understand where we're at with things, with some injuries and some different things. And so, you know, I think maybe for those guys, it just allows them to realize, hey, man, biggest thing we want to do is just be themselves, but be focused, right? Be ready to roll. We got a great plan together, execute it. And I think that's really what you've seen. I think that you've seen them embrace where we're at over the last 2-3 weeks, right, at Memphis. And really since Schenk and some of those guys have been down, man, our offense has been, you know, Coach Lartigue, Coach, you know, Godwin and Pack have done an incredible job getting those guys ready to go day in and day out. And man, we put together, I mean, shoot, I don't know how many games in a row we scored 5, 6, 7 plus runs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and those guys have been tremendous offensively. So, I don't think they need to go out and do anything outside of what they're doing. When they're focused, they're ready to roll, and we're stringing those at-bats, and all 9 guys are competing and making it hard on the pitcher. It's pretty special.
And baseball, Letterman, we're in town over the weekend. That had to be special for everybody.
It was incredible. It's always awesome to see those guys that you got a chance to just be around and coach. And those guys work so hard for us in this program, and they have such great pride in it, which is really the cool
thing. That's a cool thing.
To see just how immersed they still are in everything that goes on. And guys traveling back from all over the place. Nick Barber coming in from Florida and Turner Brown coming back. And just so many guys that just was a lot of fun to see their faces, see their families, see their little ones, but just see how they're doing is definitely a special weekend.
And I saw Turner Brown's little one back during the Easter tournaments. He was at Tiebreakers, and he had him up there, and I saw him again at the game on Sunday. Turner Brown's wife, a Wolfpack, will probably be the 2 seed in the 2A East bracket. I don't think the brackets have been released yet. They may have, because I've been on the air for the last hour, but Green Central will be the 1, and Weifel will be the 2, and he was talking about, hey, that'd be really special to get a chance, because Green Central has such history with Rabbit Foljam and everything there, and Weifel has such history, and now they have history with Turner Brown as the head coach.
That's
got to make you feel proud, too, the guy that.
No question. Yeah, Turner's doing an incredible job with those guys, and as you mentioned, that'll be a pretty neat matchup. I'd love for those guys to match up, and obviously we got a player coming in from Green Central, too, so that'll be a lot of fun to get a chance to watch those guys go at it.
Of course, around the area, you look at teams like J.H. Rose. They'll be a high seed in the 3A ranks. Conley will be a high seed in the 4A ranks, although Rose was the winner in the Big Carolina 3A, 4A. South Central, they'll be up there somewhere because they've played tough all year long. So really the baseball around here, and it starts in the Little League. We talked about your son's playing Little League, but it goes all the way up, and it's all very good.
Yeah, no question. It's really those three high school programs all do a great job. I think South Central got Conley to kind of allow Rose to win outright. So certainly great baseball, great players, great coaches, and that, as you mentioned, it starts young and works its way all the way up through us. So it's a lot of fun.
Jeff Palumbo, the hour flew by. Thanks so much for your time again, man. Love having you on, and best of luck to these Pirates the rest of the way, especially tomorrow night against Duke.
Always great, Brian. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Jeff Palumbo, our guest. We'll see you back here next week right here on The Brian Bailey Show.
This has been The Brian Bailey Show, powered by Greenville Utilities, and also brought to you by
The Angus Grill, Bostic Sug Furniture, Bojangles, East Coast Grading, Greenville Auto World, Papa John's, Greenville Utility Company, Michelob Ultra, The Rick House, Taft, Taft & Hagler, and Tiebreakers.
Join us next week for another edition of The Brian Bailey Show, right here on Pirate Radio.